Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, I should hear David's voice when I read that, but my mind always goes back to Coolio back in the 1990s. As I walk through the valley of... Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow... This is King James Version, not Coolio Version. And if you don't know who Coolio is, you're either over 40 or under 20. But everybody else, we know who I'm talking about. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That was a good place to say amen. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm going to give you something good when I get to verse 5. Thou anointest my head with oil. Four words here. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, my cup overflows. You may be seated. I was listening to somebody do a really great job this past week preaching on David, preaching more from 1 Samuel 16, not the 23rd Psalm, but 1 Samuel 16, and he painted such an ugly picture of David because we, as the church, we have the gift of hindsight, which gives us 20/20 vision. And we herald David as the Prince of Praise. We herald David as one of the greatest men to ever live. We talk about what God would say in memorial to him, that he served his generation, that he had a heart after God. And so those are the things that we really pick out of David's life. But as this preacher set his sermon up, he talked about all of David's deficiencies, all of his inadequacies. And after he got through talking about David, I'm not sure I would trust David with my wife, because David had some problems. David went through some things, but guess what? I've got problems. You've got problems. Just because our problems are different doesn't mean they're any less important. David had issues. I have issues. You have issues. I know we like to put on our best clothes and we come to church and we put a smile on our face and we fake it until we make it. But if people knew what you were really going through, they might not sit on the same pew as you. If people knew what you were really thinking this past week, they would lay their hands and anoint you themselves. They wouldn't wait till the altar call. So the fact is not, are we not going through anything, or is our life perfect? The fact is this, that I refuse to let one mistake in the previous 6 months or the previous 6 years or six decades derail the imminent future that God has planned for me. I want to encourage somebody today that you did something in March that you're not proud of. You thought something in April that did not bring glory to God. Do not let the enemy steal your future by lying to you and telling you that you're not worthy enough, because there is a grace that is sufficient that is found in Jesus Christ. There is a mercy that is fresh every morning. And when you say yes to God and you repent of all of those things, you stand as clean before God as Adam and Eve when he first created them. Do not let a bad January turn into a bad year. Do not let one bad day in June turn into a bad month of July. And so in the ingredients that we're going to talk about are found in the 23rd Psalm, because the 23rd Psalm is not a rah-rah psalm. It's not something that is encouraging you that you're going to have bigger bank accounts and you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And it's not designed to make you run the aisles. However, in this moment of grief, in this valley that David is traversing in his life, he begins to share these ingredients that lead to an overcoming and overflowing life. Let's get in it. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Can I encourage you that the person of Jesus is always going to be greater than your wants, your needs, and your desires? When you find Jesus, you have found it all. I was going to say when you find Jesus, you find enough, but Jesus isn't enough. He's more than enough. The day you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to healing. The day you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to prosperity. The day you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to love and joy and peace and patience. The day you said yes to Him, you said yes to His gifts. So this is what David recognizes. And remember, David is not on a mountain season. He's in a valley season, and he's still making these kind of declarations. The Lord is my shepherd. I know who Jesus is, therefore it affects my desires. One translation says it like this. I believe it's the NIV. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I lack nothing when I realize who shepherds my pasture. I lack nothing when I realize whose pasture I'm in. See, the devil loves to trick us that the grass is greener on the other side. There's a lot of reasons the grass could be greener on the other side. Number one, they could water it more than you. Number two, as Bishop said, it could be over a septic tank. Number three, it could be AstroTurf. It could be fake. And the devil would love for you to leave your shepherd's pasture. Because when you leave your shepherd's pasture, now all of the abilities of the shepherd no longer apply to your life because you are out of position. If you want the next 6 months of your life to count, you're going to have to stay right where God has called you to stay. We were moving some things yesterday before youth service, and Brother Chris Vada, who's always so quick to help, whether it's to preach a sermon, take an offering, or move plants. And yesterday he was moving plants. I said, Chris, can you take these plants? And he picked up that plant, and he said, I'm gonna uproot this plant and move it like a lot of church people do. And then he said this. And if you get mad at Chris. He's right here on the second row. He's wearing the white polo. He said this. He said, Pastor Brandon, he said, I've learned just by carrying this plant why most people are so easily uprooted. He said, they don't have very deep roots. They're so light. They're easy to move. There's not much to them. And there's a lot of us that are worried about our fruit when we should be worried about our root. And when I find the shepherd's pasture, that's where I'm going to put my feet down. Because when I found Jesus, I found everything I need. Everything I need is found in Him. So why would I want to get in someone else's pasture? Why would I let the devil entice me, trick me, lie to me, deceive me to get out of the position that I'm supposed to be in? David said, I don't like what I'm going through, but I know where I'm planted. I don't like what I'm facing today, but I know where I'm planted. I'm in the shepherd's pasture. I can see my shepherd, and I'm going through some difficult places right now. Man, I feel so uncomfortable, but when I look up, I realize Jesus is the captain of my boat. And so I know that if I'm in the valley, I'm in the valley with the shepherd. I'm in the valley with the one that created the mountains. So when we know the person of Jesus, and we compare it to our desires, we know the person of Jesus is so much bigger. Verse 2, let's go further. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. This is guidance and direction. We're talking about ingredients for overflow. If you're taking notes, the first thing you got to get is get planted. You are never going to produce fruit until you're planted. I did a series a few weeks ago called Grow for our young people, and I did a lot of studying on growth and planting these fruit trees and all of these things, and the statistics I came up with is it takes an apple tree 7 to 10 years after you plant the seed for them to produce fruit. That's why you don't see a lot of fruit growing on the trees at Home Depot out front. They're not planted. They are readily available to be moved at any point, at any time. If you are going to produce fruit in your life, you're going to have to be planted. If you're going to have the best 6 months of your life, you're going to have to get planted and stay planted. And then you're going to have to be always on guard and ready to fertilize and produce and to make sure that your fruit is protected. So he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Guidance and direction come from the Holy Ghost. This is what David said, that in the middle of my valley, I remember who's in lead and I remember who is guiding me. There's two words, though, that I would like to lift out of this text. Going back to that verse, he says, he maketh me, and then he leadeth me. How many parents do we have in the room? How many of you would rather lead your children? I want to lead my children. But if they won't be led, then I don't mind making them. Hey, Tyler, you ready to go to church? No, I'm not going today. Tyler, you're going to church. I tried to lead you. Not that he hadn't been that way in years. He loves coming to this house. He makes me get up early on Sunday. Dad, I got to be at church at 7 o'clock. Why do you got to be at church at 7 o'clock? I got to do this, 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 and this. Okay, you do need to be at church at 7. So we get them here. But my kids, there's a lot of times where I want to lead them, or people of God, lead them. But as a shepherd, if they don't want to be led, then I make them. And if I make them long enough, then I can get around in front and lead them. See, I break a lot of colts to lead. And these colts, they're cute, they're fuzzy, they're furry, they've got great personalities. But the moment they're born, they're between 75 and 100 pounds. By the time we wean them, they're somewhere between 350 and 450 pounds. They're as agile and as strong as an ox. And so when I get out there to lead them, I get on one end and I get Tyler or Pastor Mandy behind them with a little buggy whip or a little stick, and we just keep tapping them on the butt until they lead. But once they start leading, then we can just have a loose rope and we can actually take them. This is what they have to do. They have to develop trust in us, that where I'm taking them is beneficial to them. That if they're hurt, I'm taking them to the vet so they can get better. If they run out of grass in this pasture, I'm taking them to another pasture that has better grass. I'm taking them to a place that has water because their water's not working or there is no water source or the water source dried up. And so as I develop a shepherd and a sheep mentality and relationship with my animals, they begin to follow me because I've never led them to a lesser place or a wrong place. Can I tell you that I've been walking with God for a very, very long time? That I've been living for God since 1999. The last 20 years, God has never led me astray. God has never led me to a lesser than place. God has never led me to a place that I was injured. God has never led me to a place that I thought, man, I wish I could go back because it was better. Now, I will tell you, sometimes on the trip, I'm saying, God, where are we going? What are we doing? It seems like we're going a different way. And God says, it seems a different way because you've never been this way before, because I'm not taking you someplace you've already been. I'm taking you someplace you've never been, and you've got to trust me to guide you and lead you. And until I can lead you, I'll make you, I'll drag you, I'll do whatever I have to do to get you to where you want to be. Some of us are not enjoying the journey of faith because we're being drugged, not led. We're having to be provoked. We're having to be pushed. We're having to be manipulated to move forward when God doesn't want to have to do that. God just wants to be able to direct us and say, let's go here because I'm leading you to a better place. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, when we see this word restore in this context, I know immediately we start thinking about all the things the devil took from us. And it can mean that, but it means so much more. Let's talk about it. He restores my soul. The context comes in the next line. He leads me to the paths of righteousness. So this is what it means. Three words. He restores my righteousness, or restored to righteousness. Righteousness is one of those church words. What does righteousness mean? The most simplistic I can make it is righteousness is being in right standing with God. So when we talk about restoration to righteousness, we're not talking about our bank accounts being filled back up. We're not talking about all the things that have been stolen from January to June being brought back, and we'll get to that here in a minute. What we're really talking about is I've been restored to my rightful place in Jesus. That I allowed the enemy the first 6 months of this year to distract me. I allowed the enemy to entice me out of the pasture, but I thank God that I serve a God of restoration, that when I get out of line, he uses that shepherd's staff to pull me back into line and say, Brandon, this is where you're supposed to be. This is what I've got planned for you. But before I can get you where you need to be, before I can give you the favor of God and bless you and your family, I need you to be in right standing with me, because if you're in right standing with the Father, there's no excuse for him not to bless you. Andrew Willis, my buddy, he said something good, and he says a lot of things. Every once in a while, he says something really good. And I haven't shared it because I was going to preach it, but now I can't preach it because you know it's his. But there's a parable, and I preached on it for Father's Day, about the 99 sheep and the one. And then the parable ends with the prodigal son. There's two very different views of the 100 sheep and the two sons. When the one sheep is lost, the Bible says that the shepherd goes out and he finds him. But when the prodigal son leaves, the father never goes to the pig pen. He waits at the house. Because there's a difference between being lost and being willfully disobedient. When you're lost, God will do whatever he has to do to go and find you. When you are willfully disobedient like the prodigal son, God will wait for you at the house. And when you show back up at the house, he'll throw you a party. But he's not sending a search party for you. Why? Because you know what pasture you're supposed to be in, and you chose to jump over the fence and go live somewhere else. And so when I talk about being in right standing with God, I'm talking about God getting my attention, whether I'm lost or willfully disobedient, whether he comes after me or like the prodigal, I come to myself. For my next 6 months to be my best 6 months, I've got to stay smack dab in the middle of God's will and be restored to my rightful place of living, which is what righteousness is. That I can say to God, I've lived a life that is holy and acceptable and fully pleasing to you. That when I lay my head down on the pillow, I can say, God, I did my best today to bring glory to your name. I did my best today to preach the gospel, to bring Jesus to the masses. I did my best today to show the cashier at Chick-fil-A that I love her. I did my best today to show the attendant at Valero that you are a good God all of the time. I am in my rightful place. That's what righteousness is. Now let's talk about the restoration we love to shout about. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he had given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause you to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Restoration is simply this. When God gives you what you should be getting in July, and he gives you all of the blessings that have been back ordered because you've been out of position. I thought I'd get a better amen, right? In my head, I thought you're going to be on your feet shouting. Because there's been a lot of blessings that God had for me in January, February, March, April, May, and June, that because I was in another pasture, or I wasn't in right standing with God, I wasn't his righteousness, I did not have my priorities straight, that God said, I'd love to get that to Brandon, but because he's out of position, he's not going to get that blessing. However, when I get in position, when I get back in the pasture, when I start following Jesus like I'm supposed to, when I hear his voice and move my feet accordingly, when I lean into him for direction and guidance on where I'm supposed to go and what I'm supposed to do, when he doesn't have to make me, but he can lead me, and I get to the right place, God said, all right, Brandon, I got your July blessing waiting, but I've got some back order blessings from January to June. I've got some things back in 2018 that you never did get. I got some things in 2014 that the devil stole because you weren't at the right place at the right time. I got some things back in 1997 when you were wearing the baggy jeans and the big t-shirt, when you were wearing the big chain. Come on now. When you had your hat on backwards and you weren't living for God, I've got some big back order blessings for you. And when you get in the right place and you're doing the right things at the right, is what we call righteousness. When I'm standing in right place with God, God said, I will restore everything the caterpillar took from you, everything the locust ate out of your life, even the canker worm and the palmer worm, whatever it took from you, it's all coming back, and I'm going to dump it on you and your family this day. And that's what causes a flood of blessings. So when we talk about restoration, the first thing we have to think is, I'm being restored to my rightful place. No more pig pen living. I'm in the Father's house. I'm in the shepherd's pasture. I'm in the sheepfold. I'm exactly where I need to be. There's somebody in this place today. You've been willfully disobedient the first 6 months of this year. Shame on you. But I'm not going to let the shame ruin your next. Listen, there's a time where you can throw your hands up in the air and say, God, I'm sorry. You can come to yourself like I had to come to myself. And everybody in this building eventually has to come to their self and say, God, I've been wrong, but it's time I get right. You're looking at an imperfect person that does imperfect things. I'm better than I used to be. I'm better than I was in May. I'm better than I was this time last year. But there's still times that old devil tries to get me out of the pasture. Or he gets my gaze looking somewhere else. Or I lose focus. Or I allow doubt to creep in the back part of my mind. And it causes me to reposition myself. But I'm so thankful that God restores me. That God leads me to a place of righteousness and right standing with him. Because when I'm in right standing with God, I hear God clearer than I've ever heard him before. When I'm in right standing with God, I can do things that I never could before outside of that righteousness. You have to remember, you are the righteousness of God on the mountaintop, but you are still the righteousness of God in the valley. And the righteousness of God in the valley is much more valuable than when you're standing on the mountaintop. Creflo Dollar, when he was wrongfully accused, stood there in his jumpsuit in jail, handcuffed. And one of those smart aleck thieves, robbers, rapists, I don't know, they probably really needed to be there. They said, aren't you that TV preacher? He said, yes, I am, and I'm still the righteousness of God. Because let me tell you something, Joseph, if you were righteous if you were righteous in your father's house, then you're righteous in the pit. You're righteous in the prison. David, if you were righteous on the backside of nowhere, then you're righteous in the king's palace. Let me tell you something. When you're righteous, and it doesn't matter where you go and have to traverse those valleys. Let me tell you, my righteousness, it does something for me in the darkest of valleys. I remember I'm still in God's hand. And if God led me to the valley, he's leading me through the valley. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I got a couple more minutes left, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Here's another ingredient, God's presence. If you want 2019, the rest, to be the best, you need his presence. You need his guidance. You need his instruction. You need his presence. And when I say you need his presence, not on Sunday from 11 to 12:30. You need his presence on Monday morning at 9 a.m. You need his presence on Thursday afternoon when you get a call that the old person would have cussed somebody out, but you realize I'm the righteousness of God. I'm not going to let profanity and negativity rob me of my blessing and of my position and of my right standing. I need the presence of God. People loved it when I said it a few weeks ago. Somebody asked me, do you need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? You need the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. I'm telling you, the next time I see see a self-checkout stand, I'm going to have me a Holy Ghost fit. I'm not paying you money for my groceries and doing your job. I need me a real cashier that's making $14 an hour to check me out. I'm going to lose my mind. Nah, I'm not going to lose my mind. Why? Because I'm the righteousness of God. I'm not going to flip out. Why? I'm the righteousness of God. I'm not going to flesh out at the doctor's office when I get the report. Why? I'm the righteousness of God. I'm not going to lose it on my ex. Why? I'm the righteousness of God. He's with me. You say, well, he's omnipresent. That is a cheap way out. God is everywhere. If God is everywhere, why are you acting like that? If God is everywhere, why are you living like that? If God is everywhere, why you gossip all the time? Why are you divisive? If God is everywhere, why do you have racism in your heart deep down in there that no one knows about? If God, so you can't say, well, he's omnipresent, because if he's omnipresent, we should really be living a different way than we're living. But when I say presence, I'm talking about that means we got to worship outside the church. That you got to get you 6 or 8 songs on your playlist that aren't Beyonce, that aren't Justin Bieber, that aren't Justin Timberlake. That you need to get you some worship music on so that you can be driving down on your way to work and you can get yourself ready to take on the world. Not to get through the day. Come on. We as believers, we don't get through it. We are overcomers. We beast mode through everything that the enemy puts in front of us. And why do I act like that? Because I know when I leave the mountain, somebody help me. When I get down in the valley, I don't fear the valley. I still walk with confidence. I still walk with boldness. Why? Because the same God that was on the mountain is in the valley. Woo! Tough times, God is with me. Dark times, God is with me. It's with me every step of the way. I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's presence. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Here's another ingredient. You need provision if you're going to have the best of the rest. You need God's provision. And I'm not talking about your salary. I'm talking about beyond your salary. I'm not talking about all of the stuff you're used to. I'm talking about God going beyond what you're used to. I'm talking about you pressing in and leaning into Jesus like never before, so that when you walk, you say, man, I feel different than when I was here. You are different. Why? Because now you understand there's a God that goes with you. God doesn't live in Living Way. I know we call it his house. God doesn't just stay in Living Way. He's everywhere you want him to be. In the presence of my enemies. Be careful to dismiss your enemies. Because God said, I need your enemies to set the table. I've never heard anybody preach what I'm about to preach, but it bears preaching. Jesus had a Judas. Jesus, he knew it was Judas the whole time. He still taught Judas. He still fed Judas. He still loved Judas. He didn't tell Judas to get out. He didn't tell Judas to get out of his face. But he did call Mary and all the other maidens and say, I'm getting ready to leave this world. But I'd like to have a last supper. And I'd like you to prepare a table. Well, who do you want at the table? I want Peter at the table. I want James and John at my table. Bartholomew, I want all of them at the table. But don't you, there's something different about Judas. Jesus said, no, Judas needs to be there. Why does Judas need to be there? Because he's an enemy. And for me to do my best work, I've got to have an enemy sitting at the other head of the table while I'm sitting at this head of the table. Now, I love this. This will make you shout. It doesn't say he gets to eat. He's just got to sit there. Now, listen, I don't have to feed you, but you can sit there and watch me eat. You can sit there and watch. What is revenge? Revenge is living well. Revenge is success. So don't be quick. So quick to get your enemies out. You need a couple enemies to be your guest when God shows up and does what he's promised to do. And next time somebody makes you angry, don't cuss them out. Don't tell them off. Just ask them, you hungry? Stick around. We're about to eat. You hungry? I know we love to talk about people being thirsty. I'm not worried about them being thirsty. I'm just going to ask my haters from now on. You hungry? Stick around. God's getting ready to do something great. Jesus never once responded to Judas lying, backstabbing, negative, coming again. He just did what he was called to do, and Judas killed himself. If you'll just do what God has called you to do the next 6 months, the enemies you have today will live long enough to sit at your table, but they'll take care of themselves while you fulfill God's plan for your life. Stand on your feet and give God praise. Woo! He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16 in our minds. He anoints my head with oil. There's another ingredient. You must be anointed to have your best 2019, the rest to be the best. Is there dinner and entertainment? You hungry? They're going to bring out the steaks in a minute, but before we get to the steaks, the man of God's going to anoint me. What do you mean you? Your enemies are saying, why you? I saw you in that other pasture. Oh, it ain't about where I was, it's where I'm at. I know things about you. What about Bathsheba? Don't worry about Bathsheba. I know where I'm at. The love of God covers a multitude. The anointing covers a multitude of who I used to be. I'm not that man anymore. You prepare the table, and now you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over because I know who Jesus is. Because I've allowed him to guide, to make, to lead, to instruct me. I've allowed him to be my presence, in my presence, and me in his. I've allowed his provision. I've allowed his protection in the presence of my enemies. I've allowed his anointing. And this is what David said. Remember, David is not in the best place in his life. But David would say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will stay in this pasture forever. The problem with most people is we treat overflow in our lives from God like we treat overflow from our toilet. We live with it for a moment and we get it stopped as quick as we can because we don't know how to handle it. 3 years ago, Mandy calls me. I'm out dinner with my friends. You got to come home. We got a leak in the house. I said, don't worry about it. I'll handle it when I can. She said, no, we got a leak in the house. Go turn the water off at the road. I don't know how. I said, I'll handle it when I get home. She sends me a video. In our attic, water heater, busted pipe, coming through the roof, through Jaden's bedroom, through to the dining room. When Tyler and I drive up, it is literally coming out between the brick and the foundation and running down our driveway, down our street. The fixtures and the lights were full of water and the lights were still burning. Just craziness. And I did what I ran. I turned that water off as quick as I could. I started cleaning things up. I started making calls. And some of us are like that. When God shows up with everything that he is, we don't know how to handle it. When that's what we've been striving for, church, is the overflow. David said, when I got in the overflow and my cup ran over, he said, I said this, God, don't ever let it stop. Don't ever let it stop. Once I'm in the overflow, I'm never coming out of the overflow. Once you start running my cup over, I never want it to stop. I'm talking to somebody today that God has hit you with some blessing, but it's been sporadic. It's been here a little and there a little. And then you say, God, I can't handle what you're doing, and you turn the spigot off. I'm here to tell you, you got to get under what God is doing and say, God, as long as you're pouring out, I'm living in the overflow. Two of the great members of this church are the first ones in this altar, Brother Chris, Sister Dorla. But I want to encourage anybody that's ready for their best. And see, I love that because that puts some pressure on you. I've lived a blessed life. I'm getting ready to live the best 6 months of my life. But I'm not saying, God, I've had enough. God, what about so-and-so? They're not as blessed as me. I'm going to let you worry about you. I'm going to take care of me and mine. If you're ready for your best, I need you to step out of your seat, and I need you to join me in this altar. If you're out of position, you've been wandering from pastor to pastor.